Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a pleasure to be in front of you this morning. I am thankful for the opportunity to share and study the Word of God with you. Very thankful for our Sunday school class this morning. We had a great class, great lesson. I'm thankful for this brother teaching us this morning and being here and preparing those things for us. Great song leading, great song praise and worship throughout the congregation, and I really appreciate that. It really, really does something for our souls here, and our main goal, I hope that it pleases God the Father. See if I can get this lesson going for us on the screen this morning. There we go. Well, I do have a family, and they do exist. I was here once before on a Wednesday night, and they're heavily involved in our local congregation, and there were some things both evenings that tied them to being there, and they needed to be there last time and this time as well. But if I come back in the future, hopefully they will be with me, and their love does go out to this congregation. John 1:1 is where we'll start this morning. If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of John. John 1:1. We read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the Bible says. Let's see if we can find this next slide here. All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right. I'm not sure. I may be doing something wrong there, but that's okay. All right. Moving on. I also want you to look at verse 14 of John 1. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth." Well, the question arises this morning, as a Christian and as a brotherhood, being our body of Christ, Christ Church, and as a local congregation, can you have both? That's the question this morning. I'm going to turn that off. Can you have both? Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes when you talk about these topics and things, brethren can go from one extreme to the other, if you will. Please don't do that this morning. I'm not at all telling you not to stand up for the truth. And I'm not at all telling you to be soft or anything of that nature. But if we want to truly stand up for the truth, we must have grace. And we'll get into that here in a moment. So, it's sad to say, but amongst our brotherhood, you may hear some terms of division. Now, I'm not talking about from a political standpoint. I'm talking about within Christ Church. You'll hear things like conservative, ultra-conservative, liberal. My goal today is to present to you that we should be like Christ. The only name we should wear is Christian. When we read the Bible, it doesn't say that Jesus was ultra-conservative or Jesus was liberal. He was Christ. And He was Jesus, and that's the name that we should wear, and the only name we should wear is Christian, Christian, in Christ Jesus. Now, if somebody was to say that I was conservative, would I take that as a compliment? Well, yes, but not what some would refer to as ultra-conservative in the fact that you would bind something on somebody where the Bible doesn't bind it, okay? I wouldn't want to be accused of that at all, but I don't want any title other than Christian. So, perhaps you have two congregations. Now, we know there's only one church, one body. There's only one true church, okay? But let's say from a congregational standpoint, an individual is looking for one or the other. You see, they go to the all-truth church where there's no grace. Now, you'll see throughout our lesson that that wouldn't be a true church. But let's say we're going to go down here to the all-truth church, this congregation. The individuals there are very hard, very chiseled in their discipline. And they say things a lot of times that are very hard to hear. They make you feel ashamed for being human. And at the end of the day, you're left with the idea that there's no way that I can keep up with this congregation. You see, they got things set out for me that they want me to do that they can't keep up with themselves. I just don't understand. I'm left feeling cold and alone. So I move on, an individual may say, and I'm going to go find that grace congregation. So I go down the road and I start worshiping with a group. Oh, they're so loving, they're so sweet, they're so kind, and they're so warm. This is where I want to be. They understand me as an individual. Well, then as time goes on, I start looking around and realizing, wait a minute, there's no discipline. There's people that are proudly, high-handedly, defiantly living open sin that they have no willingness to repent of, and nothing's being said about it. There's no discipline. There's things going on within the worship service that are not authorized in Scripture. Now I'm confused. I thought this is where I needed to be. Well, the problem is that neither congregation lines up with the Word of God. Now, how do you come to that conclusion, Mr. Dedman? Well, if we're to be like Christ in the image of Christ to the best of our ability, that stands for us individually and as a group. Okay? In verse 14 of John, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Well, Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. So if we're to be like Jesus, we must have both. So when the question arises, can you have both? The answer is yes. Why? Because the Bible says so. Well, what is your answer? Well, I know that there's no perfect person and there's no perfect congregation. But one must strive to be balanced. You see, we must have both. We must preach on grace. You know, the congregation that's so warm, they preach on grace. They have an atmosphere of love. They understand each other. They preach on heaven. Well, you know, I've heard brethren, you know, first of all, we know that we can't please everyone. But I've heard some brethren, I'm tired of being preached to hell every Sunday morning. I want to hear about heaven, and I want to hear about the good things that come through obedience to the Word of God. Well, I understand that 100%. Then you got the other side that we need more hellfire and brimstone preaching, just like it was when I was a kid, they say. Well, I believe that too. So what do? You balance it all out. You have the entirety of the Bible, which is both. You have the love of God, and you have the discipline and the authority of God that comes through the Word of God, the Bible. So, as a congregation, true congregation, we must preach on grace. We must preach book, chapter, and verse. You see down there at the old truth, all truth congregation, it's so hard to be down there because there's no grace whatsoever. They have book, chapter, and verse preaching. They practice discipline. They preach on works. We know in James it says faith without works is dead. And they preach on hell. Well, what do we need to do? We need to preach on grace. We need to preach book, chapter, and verse. We need to have an atmosphere of love. We need to practice discipline. We need to understand each other. We need to preach on works, preach on heaven, and preach on hell. Preach the entirety of the Word of God, not one side or the other. A full balance found in Christ Jesus, full of grace and truth. I believe if we want to line up with the Word of God, we must do these things as an individual, Christian, as a congregation locally, and as the brotherhood as a whole, the Lord's church. So, can you have both? Yes. Full of grace and truth? Yes. There is no grace church. There is no truth church. There's one church that's full of grace and full of truth that preaches the entirety of the Bible and strives to live out accordingly to the Word of God. One church. Because grace without truth is not grace, and truth without grace is not truth. There's one truth, and that is Christ Jesus, full of grace and truth. So one must have both. One must have balance. Well, let's look at scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2, for example. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There is a walk. There is authority in the scripture we find, and a direction and a pattern to follow. As Christians, we should walk in those things presented to us in the Word of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So there is grace that you've been saved by. See, if one, you know, some of you have been around for a while and in the brotherhood, and even what short time I've been here, things change over time. And some of the most conservative pulpit ministers that I know at one time at certain congregations were reprimanded for even bringing up the word grace. But folks, if we want to be a true congregation and true Christians according to the Word of God and preach the truth, we can't leave it undone. So you can't have all discipline, no grace, and you can't have all grace and no discipline. You gotta have both. And if we are gonna be honest with ourselves, when the Bible says that Jesus was full of grace and truth, how can we be reprimanded for saying and teaching about God's grace? Because we're saved by it. It doesn't matter how much faith we have or how good a people we are. Without the grace of God, none of us are saved. And it's not grace alone, but it's through our faith that we are saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So to ignore grace is to ignore salvation. Because we're all saved by God's grace through our faith. Just like Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and he was instructed to build the ark, and he was to follow a certain pattern, so are we. But it was Noah's faith that saved him, but it was God's grace. God was the Savior. Jesus is our Savior. But his faith and his obedience will allow him to receive that gift of grace found through God. Just as we are to receive that gift of grace found through Jesus Christ, we must have faith and be obedient to the pattern and direction that God has laid before us according to his word. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 15 while we're there. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Okay? Like I said earlier, I would never tell anyone to stand up, to not stand up for the truth. Sometimes, and believe it or not, among some brethren, I've had more trouble with a class preaching on the compassion of Jesus and the compassion that we're to have as Christians. The heart of the gospel, love, I've had some pushback because of that. But I told the individuals basically that I'm standing before you today. You're saying you're trying to turn it that I'm saying we're not supposed to stand up and be bold. We're supposed to be soft. No. I was having to stand up and have a little bit of pushback for standing up for what the Bible says about compassion. So, never would I tell you to not stand up for the truth. But what I'm saying is, we must speak the truth in love. According to the Word of God, there's a way to go about things, and we can be bold, but we must do it in love, the Bible says, speaking the truth in love. So we are to speak the truth, we are to preach the truth, we have no other option, but we're to do it in love. Let's look at John chapter 1. No, John chapter 4, if you will. John chapter 4. Some of you are probably familiar with this lesson. Verse 4, but he needed to go through Samaria. Who is he? Well, if we back up, we read, he's talking about Jesus. Verse 1 of chapter 4, therefore when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So it's Christ. It's Jesus Christ. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. So what you have here, according to study, that this woman of Samaria was astonished and shocked by the fact that Jesus, being a Jew, would ask her for a drink. Samaritans and Jews didn't really jihaw, if you will. Samaritans were looked down upon, and they didn't socially mix, okay? But here's a Jew asking a Samaritan woman, and a Samaritan for a drink. In verse 8, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Well, you see, Christ is talking about a spiritual drink, a spiritual water, okay? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. So before we move on, Jesus, for one, is speaking to a woman, him being a Jew, her being a Samaritan, and very well may have asked to borrow the very vessel that she was drinking from to draw the water with, possibly, to share a drink with her. So he gave her time and attention. He was being gracious, socially, if you will. And then he says, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Oh, that's something we as a brotherhood want to make sure that we do, right? We have no other option. Worship the Father in spirit and truth. If we want to be in spirit, should we not have a spirit like Christ? Full of grace and full of truth. Full of grace and truth. Spirit and truth. A spirit like Christ. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to Him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." Moving on, verse 39, "And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in Him. Because of the word of the woman who testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him, and we know that this indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Folks, to me, this is a perfect example of preaching the gospel. The Great Commission. The gospel is for all. We're not to be partial. And what better way to try to minister to the world but to be like Christ? You see, Christ dealt with a social ill here that we may find in our world today. Whether we know a person is an unbeliever or way out there in left field or whatever it may be. You see, He gave her His time. He gave her a gracious attitude towards her out of love, but never condemned or condoned her wrong. He actually confronted her with it. You see, Jesus has the perfect balance. He's so nice and kind. He built a relationship with this woman and then told her the truth and told her and confronted her about her error. But because of His nature, she was obedient and she believed, or it says she believed, whatever that entailed at the time. And not only did she believe, but others believed, not because of her words, but because of the words of Jesus. Same goes for us. When we minister to folks and evangelize, we give them the Bible, the Word of God. Let them read it for themselves. It says the Word was with God, in the beginning was the Word. We let them read the Word and let them find out for themselves, according to the Word, that this indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. And let them be obedient, not to things that we have said, but to what the Bible has said, but what the Word says. And but we can, in our relationship, in evangelism, be gracious and still confront people with the truth and be bold and not condone the wrongs, but speak the truth in love. To me, this is a great example for us on how to preach the gospel in a lost and dying world. We look at verses like Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark 16. Verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus is the truth. So if you don't believe this scripture, you don't believe the truth. You don't believe Jesus. Well, some people say, that's a hard scripture. It's only hard for those that are disobedient. Okay? It's a very beautiful, beautiful scripture for those that have faith, an obedient faith. Because it tells us, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Jesus is gracious. He approaches the scripture the same way he approached the woman. He's very gracious to those that are willing to receive his grace. But those, later in the verse, he confronts those that are not willing to obey with the truth. Their decision is condemnation. See, the thing about Jesus is where he condemns and where there is condemnation and boldness, there's always an avenue of escape with Christ. He gives us an escape. He shows us that love and that grace, but he lets us know the truth. We can do the same with the Word of God. According to the Word, this is what the Bible says about your situation. John 1, 17. Once again, it says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There's a lot of liberty found in Christ Jesus. A lot of freedom that we have as Christians. Those that were under the law were under a law that they couldn't keep. Obviously, we read about that. But it was very detailed on the things that they should do and should not do. It was very physical in nature. There was a lot of things that they could see and touch. We operate on a more spiritual way of worship and faith. Faith in things that are not yet seen. With that liberty also comes a lot of responsibility. Because we are charged every day as a Christian to walk in those things, and we choose, is this pleasing to God? Will this please God? Is this what Christ would do or not? See, there's a whole lot of freedom and a whole lot of liberty, but it also comes with a whole lot of responsibility. You see, those of the old law and the old covenant were more or less like a child, if you will. We raise children and our goal is to don't do this and don't do that. And at the time, in every situation, we may not be able to explain why. But we do it for their safety and their protection. And then as we become adults, we know to stay away from certain things or to not do certain things because we know the consequences. You see, the new covenant, we are more given away more freedom and liberty, just like us as adults. And because of the things of old, we see the things that we should not do as the church. It says the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. My goal this morning was to present you a balanced lesson. According to the Word of God, how can we be more graceful and more truthful? You know, you could be on two sides of this lesson. There may be some here that have extended a lot of liberty to individuals and haven't spoke the truth in love. They haven't stood up for the truth. They haven't been bold in the truth. Or maybe there's some here that have browbeat and hammered down on their brethren or the lost of the world and haven't extended any grace. But when you actually look in the mirror and see yourself, you realize that some people just are doing the best they can. They can't live up to certain things because you yourself can't do it. The only perfect human that walked the earth in the flesh was Christ himself. Now our goal is to try to be as close to Christ as we can, but we realize that because of our flesh, we are weak. Our spirit yearns for something, but because of our flesh, we're weak, okay? We're at kind of like a warfare, if you will, amongst ourselves. Paul talks about that some. How are we looking as a congregation and as a group? Are we one side or the other? Are we the one church, the one true local group that we can be to the best of our ability, like the Bible talks about, full of grace and full of truth? Full of grace and truth. You see, the church is perfect. God's design, His body, is perfect. Now, it's made up of imperfect members, humans. The church is perfect because the church is Christ and Jesus, okay? But it's made up of us members that are imperfect, okay? So, maybe you're here this morning and you've not always presented yourself as a Christian to others in your walk with a graceful attitude. Maybe you haven't stood up for the truth and that lays heavy on your heart. Or maybe, like according to Mark 16:16, you've never obeyed the gospel, never been immersed into Christ. And not because of what I've said this morning, because you have read the Word of God and followed along, you realize that Jesus has been graceful to you and He's offering you an opportunity. He's inviting you to have salvation, that everlasting water, that spiritual thirst can be quenched in eternal life if you're obedient to the Word of God. See, God has bestowed His grace upon the world by sending His Son Jesus, but it's up to us to receive that hand, that invitation. We must say yes to that. If you're here this morning and you need to be baptized into Christ Jesus, immersed, or if you need prayers from this local body of believers, or me or any of the other brethren can help you this morning in any way, maybe you find yourself like that Samaritan woman. You feel like an outcast. You feel like you fell short your entire life. But now you realize that Jesus is the Savior to those of this world that are willing to be obedient, and you find yourself in her shoes, and now you see God's grace and the gracious attitude that Jesus has and had when He walked this earth in His ministry, and you want to be obedient so you can have that everlasting life found in Christ Jesus. If we can help you in any way this morning, please come as we stand and we sing.